doing a series on spiritual gifts. And I'm primarily focusing on the list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. So next week we're really going to dive into that passage itself. But I think it raises an important theological question that we need to answer about the gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. And that question is, are they for today? Are they still active in the world? Are they of God, or even as a few might say, of the devil? Cessationists are a group of good Christian brothers and sisters who believe, honestly, that the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts ended with the death of the last apostles. What would be acceptance of the canon of Scripture. So that would be at the end of the first century. And that view is based primarily on 1 Corinthians 13, 8, and 10. So that should be on the screen. It says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. So you notice from that statement that Paul there mentions a few of the gifts that he mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, knowledge, tongues, and prophecy. So these imperfect gifts won't be needed anymore when the perfect or when perfection comes. And so for the cessationist, that perfect is the Bible, the canon of the Scripture, so we no longer need those gifts. But there are other good, solid, evangelical Christians called continuists who believe that the gifts of the Spirit, primarily in 1 Corinthians 12, again, continue right up to the present day. And so they believe that when the perfect comes is when Jesus Christ comes again and makes us perfect. 1 Corinthians 13, 12, so just a couple of verses later, says, now we see, but a poor reflection is in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. So I think that is a reference to the second coming of Christ, when he makes us perfect when we see him. So I don't think there is a strong biblical argument at all for the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 ending at the end of the first century. I think there's a stronger argument scripturally that they continue. Neither does history say that gifts of the Spirit ended. There are written accounts of the early church fathers, though granted not a lot, but there are some that speak of the continuation of these gifts in the ministry of these saints. Not much in the Middle Ages, not much in the Reformation. Definitely by the Great Awakening, and certainly to the present, much more. I want to read a quote from Sam Storms, who quotes theologian D.A. Carson. Sam Storms says, they were most decidedly not absent during the church age. They were at times less prevalent, but the same could be said about the presence of signs, wonders, and miracles in biblical history as well. In any case, to argue that all such gifts were utterly non-existent is to ignore a significant body of evidence. After studying the documentation for claims to the presence of these gifts, D.A. Carson's conclusion is that, and here's a Carson's quote, there is enough evidence that some form of charismatic gifts continued sporadically across the centuries of church history that it is futile to insist on doctrinaire grounds that every report is spurious or the fruit of demonic activity or psychological aberration. In the third world today, there are many, many stories of miraculous gifts being used in miracles happening, as you would expect in the third world, where they don't have access to hospitals and doctors and so forth. George Moss, the founder of the Evangelical Friends, in his autobiography, talks about these gifts at use in his ministry. So I think there are good and solid reasons to believe that the gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 are for us today. And if you really want to explore this, a really interesting book is Jack Deere's Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. He was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary and a Baptist minister. And he began to believe that these gifts are still alive today and useful today. And so he was fired from Dallas Seminary and his church. So that's an interesting read if you're interested in really looking at the big scope of this issue. So God wants to give you his gifts. When someone opens up their life to Jesus Christ, they receive gifts from God. Let me tell you just three quickly here. You receive a gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So when you open your heart to Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You become a new creation in Christ. Your old spirit that is dead at your feet is how I always picture it. Ephesians 2:1 says, you're made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins, but in Christ you're made alive. I picture that my dead spirit just rising up on the inside of me and now is alive. Another gift you receive when you open your heart to Jesus Christ is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, that's somewhat synonymous with the gift of eternal life, but not entirely. The believer now has the third member of the divine Trinity, the Holy Spirit, living inside of them. Now, how I understand what happens at that moment of rebirth is you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have half the Holy Spirit or part of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 puts it, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." I think that baptism of the Spirit happens at rebirth where you have the Holy Spirit. But Ephesians 5:18, let me read that. "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." I think you receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. But there are just times where you need more fillings. So that's what Paul says in Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. So that's the terminology I like to use to understand those terms. The third gift is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is another gift we receive. 1 Corinthians 12:7. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. These spiritual gifts help me fulfill my God-ordained purpose for my life." The Bible contains four main lists of spiritual gifts, and it's easy to remember where they are. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. If you look at those four places, you will find most of the gifts, spiritual gifts mentioned there. It's some 20 or some gifts. Now, I'm not going to talk about the gifts in those other places. You can look those up on your own. I'm kind of focusing on 1 Corinthians 12. But I think that's an exhaustive list. For instance, celibacy is mentioned as a gift, but that doesn't appear in any of the gift lists. These spiritual gifts are not natural abilities, which we will see later, which are from God also. Only Christians have spiritual gifts because it's a work or manifestation of the Holy Spirit, who is only in believers, not unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 12:7 also says every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, and you probably have more than that. And God can also equip you with gifts needed for ministry at that particular time. A gift that you might not have now, you will have later. The Bible says that you should desire and pray for spiritual gifts, and that they're given by grace. So let me provide a brief overview or the bird's eye view of spiritual gifts before we get more specific. Number one, my gifts show me God's plan for my life. My gifts show God's plan for my life. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, But the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All Christians are to serve, but your spiritual gift determines how you are to serve. And Paul uses the word different 3 times here in the text. This should eliminate the need for gift envy. We don't have to envy what someone else is doing for God and wishing we could do it. We're meant to do different things. Your gift, and the fact that there are different gifts, will mean that we will see things differently too. And that's okay. We don't have to freak out if people see things differently than we do. Don't sweat it. Let me give you a fun example. Let's say you're at the church potluck, and a child drops his dessert on the floor. Listen to how different people with different gifts will perceive that happening. Someone with a spiritual gift of mercy says, "Don't feel bad. It could happen to anybody." Someone with a gift of preaching, "That's what happens when you're not careful." A gift of serving, "Let me help you clean it up." A gift of teaching, "The reason it fell was because it's too heavy on one side." The gift of exhortation, "Next time, let's serve the dessert with the meal." The gift of giving, "I'll be happy to buy you a new dessert." The gift of administration, "Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, would you pick it up? Mary, help me fix another dessert." Or the gift of bossy, I don't know. All right. Different people, different gifts, different reactions. Someone prays like crazy, and you look at that person, and you feel guilty that you don't pray more. Well, you probably should pray more. But have you ever considered that that person has a gift of intercession, and that is really what God has called into that ministry? Here's a second overview. My gifts show my worth. My gifts show my worth. 1 Corinthians 12:7 again says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Each one. That means every Christian is important. The foot needs the hand. The eye needs the nose. There are no insignificant people in the body of Christ. Everyone is needed. You're needed here. All hands on deck. The church is a body, right? We saw that analogy last week. If 80% of your body was working well, you would still be in bad shape because 20% isn't working well. So everyone here is important and everyone is needed for the full proper functioning of the body of Christ. Again, I use the analogy of the puzzle. If you see a missing piece, what is your eye immediately riveted on? And that's what you focus on, that missing piece. We're diminished when you are not serving and using your gift. Thirdly, my gifts give me fulfillment. My gifts give me fulfillment. You're doing your purpose for being alive. You're accomplishing something of internal significance. You're making a difference in the world, and that feels really good. It gives you joy. And the word gift and the word joy, the Greek root word, is the same. Real joy comes from serving. And some of you perhaps have never really experienced that real joy because you aren't using your spiritual gift or gifts. Now I'm going to look at what spiritual gifts are and aren't. Let's first of all talk about what they aren't. They are not natural abilities or acquired skills. Not natural abilities or acquired skills. Natural abilities are what you're born with. It determines your size, your shape, your looks, your ability. That's from God. Have you ever seen someone, even as a little kid, they were just naturally athletic? Or someone else is naturally artistic or musical? Or that kid, he was always really brainy, really a really smart kid from birth. Now, acquired skills are the development of your natural abilities. So through education and training and practice, the athlete becomes more skilled in his craft. And the musician, through much practice, gets better as a musician. Natural abilities and the practice of them are God-given gifts too. And you have multiple natural abilities, more than you give yourself credit for, I'm sure. And don't fret that non-Christians have these. In fact, non-Christians can be more talented and more gifted in natural abilities than Christians. Read a couple of examples from the Old Testament that I think are natural gifts, abilities from God. Genesis 4, 21 and 2. His mother's name was Dubal. He was the father of all who played the harp and flute. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. From Exodus 31, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for working gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. I think I'm going to stop reading right there. All right, some examples of natural abilities. Well, let's say you are a school teacher right now. You probably desired to be a teacher even when you were young. There was just something about teaching and teaching kids that it was your heart. So you had some abilities, natural abilities. Then you went to college, you got a degree, then you got out of college, you found a job, and you are teaching children somewhere, and you keep improving your skills and abilities as a teacher. Now let me give you another example. You were intimidated always to talk in front of people, whether it was children or adults. You just hated that idea. You did not like to read. You didn't like studying. You didn't like researching. But then you got saved, and suddenly you had a desire to read the Bible. You wanted to read books about the Bible. Anything that you could get your hands on about the Bible, you wanted. You started sharing your findings with other people. And other people said, wow, I'm really blessed by what you shared with me. You're really a good teacher. So you start teaching a Sunday school class or something else. That person was me. And so that is an example, I think, of a natural ability that someone has to be a teacher and a spiritual gift that someone receives after they are saved that have that ability to teach. I remember a young woman, a church we pastored in Canton, who could not sing at all. She was really bad. But she wanted to be able to sing to God's glory, so she began to pray about that. And then suddenly, she began to sing a lot better. In fact, really good. And then she went to a music teacher, a voice teacher, and she got lessons, and she got so good she was singing solos in our church. I really believe she wasn't born with natural ability to sing. I believe that God gave her a spiritual gift to worship God through song. Second, another thing is not. Spiritual gifts are not necessarily a role or office. I want to distinguish that from spiritual gifts. Let's say a role is an example of that would be to be a witness of Christ. Every Christian can and should be a witness for Christ. Whereas a spiritual gift is evangelism. About 10% of people, according to C. Peter Wagner, have a spiritual gift of evangelism. The Christian can witness and even be somewhat effective in their witness and occasionally lead people to Christ. But the person with a spiritual gift of evangelism is going to win a lot of people to Christ because that's their gift. They're going to really flow and be fruitful in their gift. A Christian can be quite generous and still not have a spiritual gift of giving. Now, by office, I'm talking about the fivefold office gifts of Ephesians chapter 4. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So let me use the example of a pastor. That can be a career. A pastor can go to Bible school or seminary, get a degree, get hired by a church and be paid. And hopefully that pastor, that office of pastor, that person has a spiritual gift of pastoring or shepherding. But a lay person can have a spiritual gift of pastoring or shepherding. A lot of times I find that small group leaders have that spiritual gift of pastoring, even though they're not in the office. of a pastor. They're not paid as a professional career. Third thing, spiritual gifts are not fruit of the Spirit. Not fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth, mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Every Christian should manifest these fruit of the Spirit more and more as they mature in Christ. But not every Christian will manifest every spiritual gift. Every fruit they should manifest. Fruit shows maturity. Spiritual gifts do not. We've all seen how a person can have a lot of spiritual gifts and not be very mature. And that's a sad thing. If I had to choose between gifts and fruit, I would choose fruit every time. Now, what are spiritual gifts? Here's the definition. Spiritual gifts are Spirit-given traits of behavior and ability for the purpose of glorifying God and serving others. Let me give you some characteristics of these spiritual abilities. They're unmerited favor. Spiritual gifts are unmerited favor. The word gift is charismata. So don't be afraid of that word charismatic. Don't stereotype that or put something on that. That's just the word for gift in the New Testament. Charismata, gift. The word grace is charis. It's really almost the same word exactly. So I think a spiritual gift is graceless. They are special favors from God, gifts from God that you can't earn, that you can't desire. Second characteristic of spiritual gifts is they're various. There's a lot of variety. We could use the word different that we've already seen in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. And the four lists there, I don't even believe that they're totally exhaustive. The Holy Spirit is created. He can give new gifts to the church. We're looking for unity, not uniformity. A football team with 11 right guards would not be a good football team. Thirdly, God is the source. God is the source. And I want you to listen for the Trinity in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So the gifts are very much God-focused and God-centered. They're from God. Contrast the word different three times, different gifts, with the same God three times. Fourthly, they're given to all Christians. Spiritual gifts are given to all Christians. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So they're of God, they're from God. God determines what spiritual gifts you get, though you can desire and pray for spiritual gifts. And they're given to each one. So no one person has all the gifts. No pastor has all the gifts. I certainly don't. So that's why we need everyone's gift working together to fulfill Christ's mission for us. So do not neglect your spiritual gift. Paul says that in 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect your gift, which is given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders lay their hands on you. And don't be ignorant of your spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Fifth thing about spiritual gifts, they are for helping others. They're for helping others. That's their use. Not to make you famous, not to make you even feel good about yourself, but to serve others. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one, we see that now numerous times, so every Christian has a spiritual gift. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Faithfully administer God's grace in its various forms. So spiritual gifts are graceless. Those two words are really closely combined. Spiritual gifts are for building up the body of Christ. What does God want me to do regarding gifts? First thing, He wants me to discover it. He wants you to discover your spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So how? How can I discover my spiritual gifts anyways? One way would be to take inventories. There are lots of spiritual gift inventories online. I have in my file a bunch of spiritual gifts inventories and tests that you can write out. So if you're interested in that, just let me know. I'll give you one or a couple. Second thing to do in discovering your spiritual gift is examine your life. Ask yourself, what do I like to do? What do I do well? What have other people told me? Wow, you really do that well. That could be an indication that that might be your spiritual gift. And thirdly, I would say experiment with spiritual gifts. Try out a new ministry. If you've been interested or thinking you might be interested in teaching, ask a teacher of a class, a kids class, an adult class, hey, could I co-teach with you? Don't be afraid to fail. And don't take it personally if you try something out and you really stink at it. Because there's probably something else that you're really great at. You just got to find that thing. So discover your spiritual gift, and secondly, use it. Maybe you're fearful you will fail, and that's held you back. I don't want to let God down. And Satan will always come up with some excuse why you should neglect your gift. He will have you so busy being involved in 100 good things that you neglect the one important thing that you're supposed to be doing, using your spiritual gift. Okay? Serve in your area of giftedness. Help out in your, or when there's a need. So you have a gift of administration. And serve on a church team or committee. And use your administrative gifts. But when there's a potluck and we need help setting up tables, pitch in and help out set up tables. Okay? Serve in your area of gift and just help out in your area of need. Okay. All right. We're going to continue next week in 1 Corinthians 12 and look at those individual gifts there. Let me pray. Lord, I pray that this teaching this morning would be helpful to your church, especially to those, Lord, who aren't sure about their spiritual gift. They've been wondering, what is it, Lord? I pray that you will begin revealing that to them now as they begin to pray about that and focus a little bit more of their attention on that. Because, Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for every believer. You want to use them in a way that builds your kingdom and that helps other people. And we get fulfillment when we are really flowing in our gifts. So, Lord, I pray that you would be abundant in your gifts to this body. Give us everything that we need here to do the mission that you called us to fulfill for your kingdom's purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.